Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I've been out of town for a few days, so I'd love to know what you're thinking about. We have an open forum. Give us a call. Do you want to talk about that new outlet mall that's going into Delaware County? Or if you're less interested in that and more interested in shale drilling, Ohio shale drilling slows is the headline on the front page of the Dispatch today. Maybe you're more interested in healthcare reform. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Just spent a few days in New Orleans, right across the street from the Harrah's Casino down there. I've been to New Orleans several times. I didn't even know it existed. I didn't go in it. But apparently, crime jumps around casino is another headline in the Dispatch today around the casino in Franklin County. They say that the spike in the first 6 weeks is no surprise. What do you think about that? 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there if you want to get the conversation going. I welcome it because no one else is right now. Maybe it will be you. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What do you think of the weather? I mean, seriously, it's supposed to get very warm today. And I have to remind myself that it's December 3rd. What do you make of that? It's a good time to get the decorations up if you're into putting up Christmas decorations or any kind of decorations outside. Have you taken advantage of that? What'd you do last weekend? What do you think about, I can't believe I haven't mentioned it already, the impending fiscal cliff and Congress's and the president's inaction on it? What do you think they should do? Like, get along and come up with an idea? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Yay to the police officers who got a winning ticket. They will split $1 million from a winning Powerball ticket they purchased at a gas station in Grandview Heights. Yay, Columbus. Oh, I guess it's, Columbus police officers. Good for them. It's nice to know. I love it that they were kind of walking around, not high-fiving each other all day, pretty low-key apparently, but it's only $1 million after all. Let's not get overwrought over that. You can email us. We welcome that. The address is allsides@wosu.org. You can tweet us at WOSU All Sides. By the way, don't forget to check out that new Twitter site for the show. You're always welcome to follow me on Twitter, but if you want to get on the show via Twitter, you have to go to WOSU All Sides and do it that way. You can go to our Facebook page and you can post a question or comment there. We welcome your participation on Facebook as well. We're getting up there, getting close to 4,000 followers on Facebook now. I was checking. Becky and Hilliard, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Yes, I was calling to comment on the article I read in the Dispatch this morning about some states adding a number of hours to their school year and wondering how to get in on that. Seems like a good idea.
Well, and you know, I skimmed that. Was that in today's Metro section?
Yes.
Because I did skim it earlier. The idea is they want to add more days to the school year? Or more hours to the day.
They want more hours, and it's up to the individual school districts if they'll add them to the day, you know, make a longer day or make a longer year or both.
Okay. Well, you say you think that's a good idea.
I've thought that's a good idea for at least 30 years, and I'm a former teacher. You would never get a business.
Hey, Becky.
Would leave their facilities set idle.
Becky, that's a good point. Could you hold the phone just a little bit farther away from your mouth? Maybe we get a lot of static. Yeah, great. Perfect.
Sure.
Excellent. So you're saying keep the school open or get more hours in classes?
Both.
Okay.
I think both is necessary. I don't think we're preparing our children to compete successfully with the rest of the world.
What would they do? Are you thinking they would actually be in, like, classes, those extra hours? What are you thinking about when you say more hours in school? Because to tell you the truth, my kid's in school for a long time.
Really? Your kid's in school probably 6 hours a day.
Well, then they have homework.
Yes, some of them do.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot, if you go into a school, it's amazing how much time is taken up by non-instructional time.
Like what? What do you mean?
Well, there's a lot. There's all sorts of testing that goes on. There's record keeping that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go in, visit in an elementary school and see how much time they have to spend on other things.
Right. Right. What do you think about the arts, cutting back on that and adding to other things? Or do you include there should be more time with the arts as well?
I think you have to keep the arts as well. I think that's part of being a well-rounded individual. And that's what, I mean, just as athletics keep some kids in school,
right,
the arts keep other kids in school.
And some kids kind of learn through those experiences as well.
Yes,
it's not just
absolutely.
For fun.
Well, I listened to your interview with Mimi Chenfeld the
right.
other day. And, I agree. But I just think, you know, we rank, 27th among the industrialized world
mm-hmm.
in our math proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Surely, you know.
Surely we can do better than that.
And when we were an agricultural nation and people had to be home to help on the farm, but, you know, kids today think, you know, milk comes from Kroger, so.
Right. Well, I see here 5 states are to announce today that they will add at least 300 hours of learning time to the calendar in some schools starting in 2013. So that's a lot of lot more hours. Well, Becky, thanks a lot for the call. We'll see what other folks
You're
have
welcome.
To say. Take care.
Sure. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We have an open forum right now. We had a great conversation with Mimi Chenfeld last week about education and kind of where that critical mass is between the structure that you kind of need for an education and creativity, which you need for so many things. Steve in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
I'd like to say I'm not anti-fuel exploration, but you and I were taught when we were kids in school that if the earth was too close, it'd burn up. If it's too far away, it'd freeze, correct?
Right.
We've been taking oil out of the ground and other natural resources out of the ground. Do you think we need to think about how that affects the earth, its gravity and everything else?
I don't know, but when I was flying back from New Orleans, I was looking down at the earth and thinking, wow, it's so many people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then around the rivers and the streams, you could see the topography, really, you know, the relief that you can see from up above, and it was kind of amazing.
Well, it just makes common sense to me. If something affects where we're at right now and you take it away, what are you replacing with it, or mm-hmm. have you considered how it affects everything as a whole?
Well, I think a lot of people have considered it, but you think as a whole society's not doing enough?
Yes, I believe so. I think we need to be more publicly aware of this.
What would you do?
I really don't have any ideas. Like I said, I'm an anti-fuel exploration,
mm-hmm.
but I think we had to look at it scientifically as far as how our actions as far as fuel exploration affect the whole ecosystem.
How do you change people's attitudes about that, though? Because, you know, I've also grown up with the ecology movement. You know, I really do remember the first Earth Day and that sort of thing. And really, all things being equal, they say that our I'm talking off the top of my head now, but our the emissions from our carbon monoxide
mm-hmm.
emissions are up, or they haven't gone down again. We're not going to make our goals.
Yeah, I agree.
Carbon dioxide, I mean.
And the icebergs in the North Pole are melting away. And
faster than they expected.
So my question is, for all the oil or coal we've taken out of the ground, what are we replacing with it? And what's its real purpose there for as far as sustaining the earth?
Okay. All right. Let's
Thank
see what
you.
Other people have to say. Steve, thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We have an open forum this hour. What do you want to talk about? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Right, it's on page 3 of the dispatch. Carbon dioxide emissions hit record in 2011. The goal to limit warming to 3.6 degrees is in trouble. Oh, Mary. Mary, you have a holiday seasonal comment.
Yes,
welcome
I
to the show, Mary.
Thank you. I have a few little things that might help with the holidays.
Okay.
One of them is that when you go Christmas shopping, when you bring the things home, wrap them as you buy them. Don't let them accumulate and pile up, and then you've got a great big job to do.
Right.
So if you could leave like a little card table out in your home with the wrapping paper set out so it's all set out, and then you just wrap them as you buy them.
And then you have a little bit of Christmas every day.
Yes, you do, and mm-hmm. it makes it easy to have the table set out.
Right.
And then the other, these little specialty catalogs that come to the house that we get bombarded with.
Mm-hmm.
There are things in those catalogs that really would appeal to someone who's kind of hard to buy for. And so it really helps to go through them if you can, because I have found things for people that I just did not know what to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And this way you can send away for it and have it delivered. And then the third one is, if a person could remember to put their lights up outside when it is still warm out, like in October.
If they didn't get it done last weekend, they
right,
are...
Right, and that's done. But I
hello,
mean,
yeah.
For the next year, it really is, you know, not so bad.
You don't have to turn them on, just put them up.
That's right, just put mm-hmm. them up. So those are my three things today.
All right. Well, Mary, thanks a lot. Good ideas.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Sarah in Westerville. Not more homework, Sarah.
Well, I have four children that's born and raised here in America. Mm-hmm. They did well. From my own experience, I think school needs to enforce two things. Number one, make sure children do their homework and turn in next day.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, parents should be involved. Parents should interest educating their children. That is two very important things I know firsthand.
I wish they would give the kids more homework that you could understand, because I can't help my kid with his... Oh, there's some really loud noise in the background.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I can't help him with a lot of his homework, but it'd be great if they sent home things that you could do that could... You could to increase understanding and also participate with your family.
Well, one thing I notice is children, nobody enforced children doing their homework. They go back to school without doing their small homework, not
right.
more homework.
Right.
Just make sure that
just
the
have them do what they have. Yeah, do what has been assigned. Absolutely, I agree.
And interested in being educated.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to tell children, hey, school is very important.
Right.
And here I am to help you. School is your business. You dress up and go every day.
Right.
And that is the thing. And if they add more hour, more money spent, children will be devastated. Parents don't really know what is going on. There will be more dropout, and there will be no success, I'm telling you.
But just do what you have for starters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Good start. Take care, Sarah.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We have an open forum this hour, so if you want to contribute, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. It looks like education is an enduring topic, and I'm always interested to see what people have to say about that. We're going to hear from Brad and Smitha when we return. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
It's believed that most young Americans infected by HIV don't know it. Now the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force wants a routine HIV test for every American between the ages of 15 and 65. Some worry, though, about the cost, others about privacy. I'm Neil Cunnan, routine screenings for HIV, plus our weekly read of the opinion page. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And Talk of the Nation is this afternoon from 2 to 4 on 89.7 NPR News. 59 degrees in downtown Columbus. There is a slight chance of rain today and a warm day, a high of 67. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 54. Showers and thunderstorms are likely on Tuesday and a high of 63. And then showers are likely Tuesday night, a low of 37. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We have an open forum this hour. We've been talking about education. What do you want to talk about in the news? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I think it was Sarah that was talking about spending more time in the classroom and We know that spending more time in the classroom, according to education officials, gives students access to a more well-rounded curriculum that includes arts and music, individualized help for students who fall behind, and opportunities to reinforce critical math and science skills. But more time in the classroom also means more human resources in the classroom, more teachers, more teacher time. Important, but it costs. Nothing's free. You willing to pay for it? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I got to get to Janet here. You just made me laugh, Janet. Janet and Pataskala, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. First of all, there were so many subjects that were interesting today. I wish I could have called you on everyone. But well, I'll talk about the shopping malls. I was shocked that there is another shopping mall being built.
Well, this is an outlet mall.
Outlet mall. There is another one an hour's drive from here.
Right.
But what I see is more and more strip malls, shopping malls, outlet malls, in other words, shops,
yep,
being built. And what happens is people start going to a new one. It's very successful for the first two or three years, and they stop going to another one that's been built, and they become empty,
mm-hmm,
completely and slummy. Most people that I know are starting to buy online, and more people, as busy as they are and working long hours, buy online. It's much less hassle and appears to be cheaper because the companies don't have a mortgage to pay for.
Well, like they're not paying taxes either often, and they're supposed to.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But I do see, as the newspapers are disappearing and everything goes online, I do see a need for fewer shops because more people will shop online. I know many of my friends do, even for Christmas presents. I just don't think that it's good for the land and the environment to have more and more shopping malls and strips, and they do go out of business after a while, because when I go to them, I see very few shoppers most of the time. I don't see how they do stay open.
Mm-hmm. Some of those outlet malls. I stopped near one in southern Michigan a few months back, and it was deserted. And it was,
yes,
you're right, it was very scummy and scuzzy looking and depressing.
Yes, and if you go to Eastland, which all the East Side used to go to, it's,
mm-hmm,
an empty nothing, which is terrible for the buildings around it because,
mm-hmm,
it becomes a slum very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anybody who thinks that one more shopping place is necessary is personally, I think, demented.
I love it that somebody invested in the Worthington Mall and is going to bring it back, and they have been working really, really hard to do that instead of just, you know, and it's a local person who bought it.
Yes,
so,
and it's a good area.
Yeah, it is, and you want to keep it up. Well, Janet from Pataskala, thanks for calling.
Okay,
good
bye-bye.
Thoughts. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, back to education with Smitha in Columbus. Hi, Smitha.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling because the comment regarding having more hours in the school day or extending the school year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's necessarily the solution to the problem, because isn't it about the quality of the hours spent in classes?
Well, I think that the point was made that a lot of the stuff, they're not really doing stuff that's educational.
Right.
It's administrative, taking tests and filling out forms,
right,
and yeah.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of family in India, in South India, and all of my cousins are my age and younger, and they're all enrolled in the public school there, and they go to school for way less hours than I ever did. And, but, you know, they excel in a lot of the subjects that American students fall behind in.
Like foreign language, so, math, that kind of thing.
Math, sciences in particular,
mm-hmm,
which I know is a huge push.
Why do
in
you think?
American education. You know, I know that at least in India, there's a less of an emphasis on the liberal arts education, and it's very, it's a very career-based educational system, heavy, heavy emphasis on developing skills that would lead into fields of medicine and engineering and teaching. It's not as much reading and standardized test taking as we do here.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps that's you know, one of the reasons why they do excel in those specific subjects.
You know, I remember reading an article some years ago, not too many years ago, about kids who would walk 5 miles every night to read by a streetlight because it was the only light in their town. It was someplace in, you know, probably Africa.
Uh-huh.
And it was really kind of emotionally jolting.
Right.
To see that desire.
I just, you know, I have a younger brother who's still in high school, and he is a junior in high school, you know, leading up to the whole college searching process.
Yep.
And when I was home for Thanksgiving, I hardly saw him. He is, you know, taking the full course load of any high school student who takes part in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these after-school activities, they have rehearsals or practices that go on till 7 or 7:30 at night.
Right.
And then on top of that, there's the homework workload. And so, you know, it concerns me when I say that they're planning on increasing the number of hours in a school day. I mean, are we ever going to get to see the kids in our family?
Or, as I think it was Sarah made the point, or make those hours matter more instead of all of the other stuff that they're doing in terms of administrative testing and that sort of thing.
Right.
So.
Well, I would be interested to see how that turns out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 300 hours a year. That's a lot.
Yeah.
it's a lot. I mean, but anyway, Smitha, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Brad in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Brad.
Hello there. Thanks for taking my call, and your show is a wonderful joy to listen to.
Thank you, Brad.
I just wanted to make a comment about the caller that was advocating for longer school days. I smiled to myself because she's a retired teacher. But I think, as a teacher myself, I think our education would do better if we weren't constrained to standardized testing. It would allow us to do more creativity in the classroom, and I think that would improve the quality of our teaching overall.
You know, sometimes I think about it, I think people aren't, I don't know if the law, I know it's the legislature that invokes these laws, but there's a sense of, there's an issue of accountability, and they don't, no one knows how else to do it besides testing. What do you think about those two, you know, that dichotomy? How do you get the accountability without testing?
I think maybe perhaps observation or a thoughtful evaluation of teachers, or maybe requiring a higher level of education.
Hmm.
It's just that the we end up just teaching to the test.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the answer is for that. But I don't see either one working.
I never minded taking the tests when I was a kid because they didn't matter. It just was a measurement tool. It wasn't going to hold me back.
Well, these are holding students back now. Mm-hmm. In high school until they can pass it, and some never do.
Mm-hmm.
And I do advocate more vocational training in high school. Some students are just not cut out for a college education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would do much better in a vocational training.
Mm-hmm. And enjoy it more.
And enjoy it more, and right. Be more enthusiastic.
That's okay. Yeah, there's this thing about college, but it's higher ed.
Right,
what
right.
What are we talking about? Yeah.
And there are much more skilled-based jobs out there that would make more money for some students through the specified vocational training.
All right. Well, let's see what people have to think about.
Yeah.
Have to say about vocational training. But Brad, thank you for your call.
Thank you, Anne.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and we have an open forum this hour. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. I have an email from Bob. He says he's talking about the fiscal cliff. Two misleading aspects of, quote, the fiscal cliff, end quote, being a misleading metaphor. Number one, the choice of, quote, cliff, end quote, provides self-validating sense of scale, big and bad, both those words in uppercase, like Thelma and Louise, and thereby can lead to only one outcome, big and bad. Number two, and using the definite article the indicates that there is precisely one drop-off ahead, one cliff to drive off of, dot, dot, dot. Should I finish the sentence, Bob? In other words, there's a lot, you know, it's not over. Once they address this issue, there's more to come. What do you want to talk about? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Brett from Columbus, you're on the air. This isn't exactly in the news, but it's intriguing. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call anyway. Mm-hmm. It was a recent TED Talk, Dr. Tyson, he's been on The Daily Show and that sort of thing. He mentioned the fact that there's 1% difference between chimpanzee DNA and DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the amount of creativity that exists in the human culture versus that is the 1%. That's the manifestation of the 1% difference in DNA. And to imagine in the same direction that chimpanzees are different from humans, if we were to imagine what humans would be in the 1% forward to another possibly alien life form, how would they view us and how primordial we might seem to them?
That's always a fear.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's always sort of the unspoken fear when all the alien shows or movies and stories about aliens, they're usually smarter than us. They might not be as pretty, but they're usually smarter.
It's humbling in a way.
Yeah. But it's not often addressed very directly. There's more of the outward appearance and their differences from us, and the intellectual difference is sort of implied.
Thanks, Nicole. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Brett. Take care.
Bye.
Interesting idea. Jack and Lewis Center, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Regarding the outlet malls up there on 36-37,
mm-hmm.
I just wonder if they've actually this time taken traffic into account. It just seems to me that they just build and build and build around here, and then later on, they're like, oh, wow, look at all these cars.
Well, I imagine it's going to be right off of 70. I have not looked closely at the article, but I think it's right off 70, right?
71, I believe, right there. At the
70. It's, of course, 71 North, right. Yeah, so it's right off. And they've been building out 33 up there for quite a while, haven't they?
Not really. There's
okay.
Meyer right there in Delaware, but... not too much right there up on 36, 37.
They got enough fast food restaurants to feed a small
sure.
kingdom. So no one will ever go hungry, that's for sure.
that's for sure.
You're right. A lot of times there will be traffic. Who's going to pay for the build out for that? So good question.
Right.
All right. Well, Jack, thanks for your call.
All right. Thank you.
Yep, take care.
Right, you too.
Steve in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was wondering why it's illegal to carry, do concealed carry at a gun show.
Is this in the news, Steve?
Well, no, but the last hour about the NRA, they put up signs at gun shows, and you cannot do a concealed carry at a gun show.
Okay, and you're asking me why?
Is that kind of counterintuitive if guns are supposed to make things safer?
Well, now, I mean, Steve, that's a debatable question. A lot of people argue whether they make things safer in the first place. So that's kind of a loaded question. Why are you expecting me to ask it? You want to see what people think?
Yes. Why do they put up the signs that you cannot do, it's illegal to do concealed carry at a gun show? That's all I got.
All right. Okay. We'll see what people say. What do you think, people? I mean, it's illegal, so that's why they put up the sign. It's probably part of the law that they have to post the sign, but why would lawmakers make it illegal to conceal carry at a gun show? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We've got an open forum today. It's been a long time. It's nice to hear from everybody. Oh, crap. Mubarak, call us back. I just hung up on you. 614-292-8513 or email us. Call us back, Mubarak. I'm sorry about that. Guess I'm getting kind of rusty. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm surprised we've only gotten that one email. So, if you're at your desk and you can't call in, you can always email us real quick, or you can post on Facebook. Let's see. Paula in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Paula.
I am.
What's up?
You know, it's the law adding more hours to the school day when you also already have activities for your child, educational activities, like my son plays drums with the Columbus Youth Jazz Workshop.
That's fantastic.
After school.
Right.
So, you know, you add more hours to the day. You have homework. You have practicing for that.
Right.
And you want to encourage the arts in Columbus.
Absolutely. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. And then what about just downtime? Just hanging
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you want them to rest.
Right. And really rest. That's a good question. Everything's so busy nowadays. And, you know, just to get to, the jazz band practice or, you know, hockey or baseball or whatever the extracurricular activity might be, sometimes can take a long time because of traffic. It's always at rush hour, is it not?
Absolutely. He has friends who ski at, you know, up in at the chiller and stuff. I mean, not ski,
skate,
hockey and stuff, you know, which are good activities. Mm-hmm. The kids are active. They're having fun. You know, they're being positive. You add another hour to the school day and it's over.
Right. A lot of it is. That's for sure. All right, Paula. Well, hang in there.
Thank you.
What a great thing, though, his opportunity to play with the Youth Jazz Orchestra.
Thank you.
Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, Mubarak, don't forget to call back. I'm really sorry I hung up on you. John in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
Hi.
I just have a response to the gentleman's question regarding concealed carry at gun shows.
Good, thank you.
It is the determination of the owner of the venue. Whoever is running the show decides whether people are allowed to carry on the premises or not. There are some places like schools where it's just flat against state law. But gun shows, that's going to be determined by the owner.
So when they put up that it's illegal, I mean, that's you should not be seeing a sign saying it's illegal?
Oh, absolutely. The law provides for
you to say that it's illegal.
Absolutely.
Okay.
As the president of a small company, I've got the right to post my premises as no carry.
Do you?
Yes. Do I have the right to? Yes, I do.
But do you post it as no carry or...
No.
No.
I think there are only 7 of us.
And if someone's carrying for a bad purpose, there's nothing that's going to stop them anyways. A little sign, sure.
Right.
John, thanks for the call. That was illuminating. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have
Take
a good
care.
Day.
You too. You're listening. We'll be, we have an open forum this hour. We welcome your contribution, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Irish writer Colm Tobin, author of the bestseller Brooklyn, has a new novel, which imagines Mary remembering her son Jesus 20 years after his crucifixion. On the next Fresh Air, we'll talk with Colm Tobin about his book, Growing Up Catholic in Ireland, Being Gay, and Writing About What's Left Unsaid. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And sustaining givers are the future of our station. A sustainer gives a fixed amount each month. For example, $5, $10, or even $20 per month can be charged to your credit card. Then your membership is always active and your member card renews automatically. We can send you less mail reminding you it's time to give. Visit WOSU.org/sustainer and sign up today. And thank you for your support of 89.7 NPR News. 60 degrees with cloudy skies, a high of 67. Clouds tonight, a low of 54. Showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday with a high of 63. Expect some rain Tuesday night, a low of 37. And then sunny and a high of 43 on Wednesday. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We have an open forum this hour. We're talking about what is of interest to you in the news. We've been talking about education, that article where some states are thinking about expanding the hours in the classroom, so to speak, up to 300 hours a year. That's quite a bit. Give us a call and tell us what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm going to get to some of those calls about the school day, but first, Dave in Columbus, you're a police officer. You want to talk about that concealed carry issue. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. For first place, I'm a police officer, and it's not against the law to carry, at least at the Westland Gun Show, at the old JCPenney. What it is a liability issue, and they require that all guns be unloaded. They require that a tie be put through the cylinder or the action so it cannot even be loaded. And that's just a liability issue. It's not the law. The law allows you to carry it. They even allow you to carry it concealed. They just don't want the gun loaded because they don't want anybody hurt.
Right, but even by accident.
Right.
Right.
So there's no law covering that.
Okay, so
and
somebody,
hopefully there never will be.
If somebody puts up a sign saying it's illegal, is that illegal?
No, it's not illegal for them to do that.
Okay.
But it's misinformation. It's
okay.
Just like most of the signs you see on businesses are not the proper signage. They have to cite the code, and then they have to say, unless otherwise authorized by law.
Okay.
In other words, if you're a police officer, you can carry wherever you want to, other than a courthouse, unless you're on duty, and then you can even carry there. There are some places you can't carry, but that signage has to be proper. It has to cite the revised code number, and it has to say unless otherwise authorized by law. And at that, the most they can cite you for is criminal trespass, because once you've been informed you can't carry there and you continue to carry there, then they can ask you to leave. If you don't leave, you can be arrested for criminal trespass. It still has nothing to do with the carrying.
Hey, you know, as long as I have you on the phone, I was reading the article about police, you know, members of the canine units being treated now like service dogs or something like that and being allowed into public places. I always thought that would have been the case, but it wasn't. I was surprised.
I'm not familiar with that. I never worked with canines, but I see people putting chihuahuas in at Tuttle and all kinds of malls, and I know they're not service dogs. I've got some shooter gliders. I'm thinking of putting a little sign on one of them so we can take it in.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thanks a
lot. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Oh, eight. Len and Lewis Center, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Ann. I'm just, when I was reading the newspaper this morning, the article about extending the school year, I couldn't help but remember when I was a little kid, every fall I'd have to be retrained, so to speak. I'd forget half of what I lost in the summertime. And I was thinking that would, if you would extend the school year that way, by maybe shortening up the summer break, it would be probably good for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's an idea. You know, a lot of times there's libraries have programs, reading programs and that sort of thing, and also tutoring programs in the summer, so that if kids do have a problem with that, they can avail themselves. But a lot of that goes back to the parents, right?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Some kids just don't have the opportunity and don't even really have parents at home.
Exactly, or their parents are working, right? I mean, it's
sure.
not available. Well, thanks a lot for the call, Len.
Sure.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye, Ann.
Bye-bye. Patrick, Pragmatic Patrick in Arlington. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Really like your show, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
My question was, with the extending of the hours, you've already got a lot of school districts that are struggling.
Right.
How are they going to afford, you know, paying teachers more? Because obviously they're doing more work. They're going to be paid more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what my concern is. How are they going to be able to pass these costs on to the end user? We've got our first levy that we just voted down, I think, in 30-some years
in
Arlington on this last election cycle.
Were you
surprised?
It's
kind of surprising to me.
Yeah?
I actually voted against it, but I was surprised. I think if they do their due diligence and explain why they need the levy and document, you know, I just think they went there because everything they've always done before, you know, it always passed. And I just think they kind of got caught short and surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if they show what they need it for, then it'll pass on the second one.
Because you don't move to Upper Arlington School District unwilling to pay high taxes.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you move here because of the schools and because the relative security in your home pricing is going to increase.
Now, my producer, Michael DeBonis, is telling me that some of the funds for the extra educational hours will come from shifting resources from existing federal programs. Always sounds like a shell game to me when they say that, but what? But so, all right. Well, Patrick, I'm glad you called.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Mubarak in Columbus. Hey, welcome back, Mubarak. Sorry about that.
Oh, hi, Ann. Thank you.
Yeah.
For taking my call.
You bet.
Well, I wanted to comment on the effectiveness or the need for standardized testing.
Yeah.
I am an immigrant from Somalia,
mm-hmm.
and I moved into Columbus in 2004. And really, the first time that I sat down in front of a standardized testing was for the Ohio graduation test.
Yeah.
And I did pass in all my subjects except for the science subject. And I really didn't believe, I just didn't think that the OGT
mm-hmm.
quite tested my abilities in science in general, because I took an agricultural business course as a science
uh-huh.
or as a substitute for biology.
Yep.
And the OGT contained predominantly biology-based questions. So
I would imagine there's a certain assumption there that you've been educated throughout the American system that, you know, there's going to be vestiges, therefore, of, you know, 12 years or 10 years of, you know, conventional American education. But you didn't have that. And I have to say, I'm always amazed. How old were you when you immigrated here?
I was 16.
That's amazing. Did you speak English?
I spoke a little broken British English, and students would make fun of me when I would say trousers instead of pants.
Could you read?
I could, actually. It was just hard for me to comprehend or to kind of keep a fluent conversation.
I'm always so impressed with people. I think it's amazing that you survive and you do so well. You know, so congratulations.
Thank you so much. And on a good note, I did just graduate from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. So, yeah, thank you.
What'd you get your degree in?
Accounting and international business.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I love your show, so thank you again.
Thank you, Mubarak. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, got to get back to that mall. Melissa in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Hi, Ann. Thanks. My question is, you know, a lot of small towns around Ohio are suffering from that downtown dead zone.
Right.
You know, they used to have a bubbling zone.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, when I'm assuming it's a city council or a county government that okays the...
Or a zoning commission. A zoning...
Right.
Zoning really is more important. And then the... whatever the local government subdivision is, whether it's a township or whatever, then they would approve the recommendations or not of a zoning
exactly.
commission. Mm-hmm.
I just, you look around at all of the, you know, the huge, as a earlier caller had mentioned, strip malls that are dead or empty spots.
Yeah.
You would just think that as a county, I realize that you're trying to increase business, increase traffic, but instead of creating these dead zones, you would think that it would benefit them to try to fill up the spaces that are empty. And I realize, and then that goes back to whoever is the leasing agent for the particular building and that kind of thing. But you think that they would try to work together rather than let's just open up another thing or build a new thing and, you know, that kind of deal.
Well, I know they've invested a lot in downtown Delaware. It mm-hmm. looks lovely, whatever they've been doing down there.
Well, and we have a Main Street Commission, which does a wonderful job. You know, like they have First Fridays.
Right.
And, you know, so they've really, you know, small business-wise tried to do that. But I'm also thinking about, you know, we've got a Walmart south of town that,
right.
that some of the shops are you know, totally empty and they stay for lease. We've got a new, like a Glenwood Commons. Again, some of those storefronts are empty, and that's brand new that they built, and they still those still haven't been filled. So, you know, there are some of those things that you think to yourself, why would you approve this
mm-hmm.
if you still have some empty spots? You would think you'd try to build up those.
Well, that kind of speaks to the issue of regional governments. Instead of having townships and cities and counties operating independently, are they working together for the best interests of the region?
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah, it's a good question.
And it's hard to tell, right, like you said, because so many people have their hands in so many different pots. Like you said, you don't know whether it's a city council or a county government.
A lot of conflicting inference. A lot of conflicting interests at work there.
Exactly.
I guess the question is, where does the sales tax go? Where does the income tax go? Who's getting what piece of the pie? That might be, you know, as they say, usually follow the money.
Right.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's from covering the state government for too long. So, Melissa, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Dave in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to All Sides.
Well, thank you, Ann. You caught me in between bites.
Oh, good. Thank you. What's up?
Well, I figure that you know about 211.
Mm-hmm.
But my guess is that only like 2 or 3 out of 10 of your listeners are aware of 211.
That's a social services helpline?
Yes.
Okay.
And as you just said to your previous caller, it allows, it's another way that allows the government agencies and community agencies to work together
right.
for best value on our tax dollar. Unfortunately, 211 is kept secret and hidden from the community and even from gatekeepers like physicians and counselors.
Why do you, what do you mean by kept secret? Is it kept secret or is it just a neglect of neglectfulness?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
But do think that proportionately fewer gatekeepers, probably 10 to 20%, know about 211 compared to the general public, where knowledge is around 30%.
Hmm, that's interesting.
I'm guessing here. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. You know, 211 pops up on the show periodically when we have a topic that comes up regarding social services or something like that, mental illness, different kinds of needs that might arise, and someone will throw out the 211 number. So it's interesting that you make that point. Maybe we better check that out sometime.
So maybe on your tagline,
mm-hmm.
And WOSU has a lot of repetitive taglines. You could just throw in something about 211, like give them a call. Your problem will be solved.
Okay. All right, Dave. That's pretty
Thank
positive.
You.
All right. Take care.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Joe in Akron, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I enjoy listening to you every day.
Thank you.
I'm calling about our school funding here in Ohio, and I grew up in a small town and lived out in the country all my life. I think that there is a true inequality between the inner city schools. I don't really want to call it racism because it doesn't matter the color of the kids in the inner city. I just think it's a very unfair system, and I think that the inner city. They're poor people mostly, though. It's economics.
Mm-hmm.
We're not giving them the fair education. What really, I was just floored a week or two ago when the Hudson school system had on the news about this stadium they built. It was millions of dollars for high school kids.
One of the wealthiest districts, certainly in the state, at least.
And I was born in 62, and I was raised up. I lived right outside of Kent,
mm-hmm.
and civil rights were big. And to be honest, I get what Kid Rock said about being ashamed of being white today. It's terrible, I think, but we're setting the inner city kids up for failure. We don't even provide them with a fair education, and then we wonder why they're criminals when they grow up. What choice do they have in life? If they can't get an education, or I agree with the guy, everybody's not set out to get a college education. Mm-hmm. Some better at, well, hey, we need a lot of welders today.
But first you need a high school degree.
Exactly.
And the graduation rate's something around 56% right now in most urban districts. Shocking.
I think it's appalling. I think it's appalling, and I think I think we're all to blame because we're all concerned. The parents that are in Hudson, they could care less about the inner city Akron kids. But yet, when they want to drive into the city to go to a play, they're afraid of the people there, and there's something wrong with our city.
You know, I hate to keep gabbing about my plane trip back from New Orleans, but another thing I noticed from looking down from up above is the differences in the high schools and the high school fields. And there was a really marked difference. When you got into an urban area, there was no fancy lettering on the football field or anything. Nothing was fancy, but you could clearly see differences between the wealth of a district by how big their football fields were.
What I'm trying to get to saying and all, I think the people, us people that are doing it, we should have a little bit of shame in this. Hmm. These are fellow citizens, and why are we setting them up for failure like this? There's a lot of, and we're only hurting our own country. Hmm. Talent being lost in the inner city. Hmm. There's some very smart individuals that maybe weren't born into the right family, but they might be the next genius of our country. Hmm. And we got to give them a fair shot.
You never know.
I'm not asking for them to be given anything special, but when a kid in Hudson has I think there ought to be a little bit of shamefulness. And my parents were born in the 20s and the 30s. My dad's father owned grocery stores, and he about went broke letting people run tabs to keep them alive. They couldn't eat, my dad said. I says, why would – I'm Italian, and we called him Nono. I says, why Nono keep giving all these people credit if they couldn't pay him? He says, Joey, what are you going to do, let people go hungry? He goes, people literally starving to death. I think we've lost that because we've had it so good now for the last 50 years. People like that. Mm-hmm. And I think we ought to have a little bit of shame in our that.
Well, Joe, thanks for that food for thought there. And thanks for calling.
I hope it provokes a few of your listeners, and I'll continue to listen. Thank you very much, Joe. Bye-bye.
Believe it or not, we air all the way in Akron. It's always fascinating to me. We are not going to have time for those rest of those calls, but I do thank you the calls. From Keith on Facebook, he says, why no discussion about the data scrubbing at Columbus City Schools? I have not heard anything about it on your show. Well, we have talked about it, but not today. You're right. No one brought it up. So maybe next time. Thanks for listening, Keith. And also Lucas in Columbus, thanks for your email as well. Sorry we didn't get to everybody today, but appreciate all the calls that we did get to on this open forum today. Once again, thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.